Moncrief
on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
For good news, it is time for Movies and Booze. We are joined once again by Serena Bellissimo and for the first time by Mick O'Connell, who's a master of wine from Findlater & Co. Mick, good afternoon to you. You're very welcome
good
to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming along. Serena, hello.
How are you?
How are you?
It's good to be back, especially in January when the films are good.
It's all Oscar baity films at this time of the year, isn't
mainly.
It?
Mainly. There are a couple of bad ones thrown in as well. But, you know, on the whole, it's not a bad month at the
cinema. Well, see, well, then what's the logic for throwing in a bad film? When people are going to make their viewing choices, it's going to be the Oscar contender rather than the piece of crap.
Because the Oscar ones are usually quite serious. So if you want something quite light entertainment, you will go see the bad one just because you want something that's not as serious as the Oscar ones.
Okay, so... And I don't know myself. The two films you're talking about today, one has Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks in a film about the Washington Post. And the other one is Liam Neeson killing people on the train. Which one of those is the Oscar contender?
Well, you have a guess. Which one?
I just can't decide.
Yeah, poor Liam. But the Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, do you know they've never actually worked together on screen before?
No, yeah, that was I did read that, but I was surprised to read it because you would have thought.
Well, he produced Mamma Mia. I had no idea about that either. So he's produced Meryl Streep, but they've never actually worked together. And this is the first time the three of them, Steven Spielberg, have worked together. And it is just pure gold on screen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd watch them reading a newspaper to me.
Yeah. Particularly Hanks is very... you see, if Hanks decided to go for president, I think he'd have a chance.
I think he would. Can I name drop?
Yes.
So my career highlight happened last, besides being here with you, Sean.
Yeah.
It happened last week. I actually was in the same room as Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep.
Right. And did you actually talk to them or were you just in the same room? You just ran in, stole a paper cup, which is now going to go on eBay.
It's on eBay. No, I managed to string a few sentences together, but it was the first time in a long time where I've been nervous going in and chatting to them. But they were the most lovely. They were the most extraordinary, ordinary people you will ever meet. They were they were lovely.
Well, there's a skill to doing those things because they're those kind of junket interview things because they're answering the same question over and over again for weeks on end.
They are, but they can also command different things than other stars too. So usually you go to these junkets, you might have three, like with Liam Neeson, I only got 3 minutes with him last week.
Right.
But with Tom and Meryl, you know, my mates now, I got a whole 8 minutes with them, which is unheard of for online, for video stuff. So
okay, all right. They'd only give you 3 minutes now. And did they go over the allotted time because they were having a good time or would they just more generous?
Well, no, they actually said we don't want a lot of interviews. We'd rather do fewer interviews with longer time, which means you actually get a proper interview.
That's true.
You get some substance. And with them, there is lots of substance. If you want to see that, you can watch it on thebellissimofiles.com.
Okay, all right, good plug there. So tell us about your interview with Liam Neeson. Your shorter, a pithier interview with Liam Neeson.
Yeah,
3 minutes of electric interviewing, I have no doubt.
That is also up on the site. He was lovely too. I mean, I got four.
I know he's a lovely fella.
He really is. I got four questions from him. And he just, you know what I love about him? He still seems to be genuinely in awe about what it is that he does. And he's very appreciative that he gets to get up in the morning and go to work and call himself an actor. And look, his choices of late haven't been great. But then you have to think if someone...
But is he being offered anything else other than that? He's been offered Taken just in different locations.
And that's the thing. So I think, you know, Taken was such a revelation. I think it was back in 2008. It was, oh my God, he can be an action hero. And now everyone's like, okay, he's an action hero. Like, can we go back to having Liam Neeson? Schindler's List, do we remember that? Do we remember Michael Collins? Like, he was fabulous as an actor, not just an action hero. I mean, at the end of the day, if anyone had to save me, I'd want it to be Liam Neeson.
Oh, you would. How old is he now?
He's 65.
Well, then that's also a positive that you have, you know, someone who's of retirement age who's an action hero. Good on him.
And that is great to see, you know, not just the Sly Stallones and the Arnold Schwarzeneggers. You know, he's someone who you wouldn't expect to be an action hero.
Actually, he looks in better shape than Sly Stallone.
Much better.
Or Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, now I think they're in their 70s. There's about 5 years between them.
Okay.
And if you watch Graham Norton tonight, it's going to be really interesting because himself and Jamie Dornan and Helen Mirren are on the same couch. Do you remember a few years ago, they went out with each other for about four or five years.
All three of them as a threesome.
Oh, sorry.
No, Liam Neeson and Jamie Dornan. I didn't know that. No wonder he got that 50 Shades movie.
Liam and Helen went out for a while, so it's going to be interesting watching.
Oh, I didn't know whether, and did it end bitterly?
I don't know, but look, the fact that they're on the same couch must mean that it ended on good terms.
Not necessarily. They've been forced to do it.
Yeah, and, oh, well, I'll be watching.
Pretend they like each other. Anyway, Mick, what two wines are we going to be drinking today? One of them, I understand, is €57.
€50, yep, yeah. Yep.
Well, now, what makes a €50 wine five times better than a €10 bottle of wine?
Experience. For one,
whose experience?
The cashiers, but of course also the drinkers. We would hope.
Yeah.
So I suppose you could look at it in the same way as if you're buying a restaurant experience. You know, what makes Patrick Guibo's two-star Michelin £200 for you and the missus, and McDonald's £20?
Yeah.
There is definitely experience. In Ireland, we have really high taxes as well, which does tend to mean that you'll get slightly better value as you trade up.
Mm.
But it certainly wouldn't make a hell of a difference between €10 and €50.
Yeah.
But overall experience, scale of the winery is a big deal as well. So quite often a wine like we have today, Roisin Curley's wine, she's a micro négociant in Burgundy, and she, this wine that we're tasting today, there's only 1,500 bottles made. So that's certainly
okay, that would have a
economics of supply and demand have an influence.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. So the two wines we're drinking today are from what part of the world?
Both from Burgundy and France.
Right, okay, excellent. That's all coming up in the next hour or so in Movies and Booze. We're going to take a break now. Back in a couple of minutes. 1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Serena Bellissimo and Mick O'Connell, who's a master of wine from Findlater and Co, join us for Movies and Booze. We will be talking about The Post, which is the latest film featuring Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is just a chameleon. He can literally play any role, and he's 100% believable. I watched The Terminal the other day, where he plays a Russian stranded in an airport. He was excellent. Indeed he was. I particularly like his, when he played O.J. Simpson. He was very convincing then, I thought. On the subject of Liam Neeson, we're going to be talking about him. Liam Neeson is brilliant in The Grey. Such an awesome film. Liam Neeson never really does comedies, bar Love Actually, which I don't count as a comedy. I get he has a niche in the market as this hotshot assassin guy, but I'd love to see a softer side to him, says Mags. Yeah, and even in Love Actually, that role wasn't a particularly... Well, Love Actually wasn't... Was it a comedy?
No, rom-com.
It was more rom than com. Yeah. I can't think of any com in it, really. Do you know Liam Neeson and Jamie Dornan have both acted in the same bar in County Wicklow? Liam Neeson filmed Michael Collins and Jamie Dornan filmed The Siege of Jadoville in Tutty's Bar in Hollywood, County Wicklow. Meryl Streep also was there in the film Dancing at Lunasa, says Alan. Wow, that's an awesome piece of film detail. Well done. Could you ask your wine expert if there are any decent Finnish wines?
It's great to have this on radio so you can't see my face, but no, there aren't. I'm sure they have access to loads of excellent wines, but I did get followed on Twitter over the weekend by a Swedish viticulturalist. So given global warming and climate change, give it 30 years and we'll do Finland.
I suppose, you'd need to be an environmental scientist to answer this question. I wonder, would it affect Ireland's ability to produce fine wines?
Very, very interesting study. Interesting if you are me and an absolute wine geek, and not interesting at all if you're most people. But there is a study that says over the next, I think it's 35 years, we should just about get the climate to grow cold climate wines. And if you think about it, England makes interesting sparkling wines.
But it's right in the south of England.
South of England. But even Monmouth in Wales. I have a delicious Welsh sparkling wine from a biodynamic producer called Anchor Hill, and it's fab. But that's a little bit further north and more in line with us here in Ireland. But my advice would certainly be buy up Wexford now.
Okay.
Because in 35 years, we're going to be making champagne.
That's unless Wexford is flooded. I'm looking for a really nice Chateauneuf du Pape, willing to spend around 40 quid, Dermot says. Any thoughts?
Perfect. Do Chapoutier. They make a delicious, again, biodynamic. So biodynamic is a step further than organic. So an organic Chateauneuf du Pape, the producer is Chapoutier. It's called Le Bernardine and it's widely available. So you'll get it in Super Value through to McHugh's, O'Brien's, everyone like that.
I was given a bottle of Chateau Fusse Le Clos. Any good or pass it on as a gift, Megan wants to know.
Give it a big thumbs up. It is delicious. So Chateau Fusse is similar to the first wine we're going to try here. It's a Burgundy. It's a Chardonnay. It's from the southern end of Burgundy. What I would say is check the vintage on it and probably drink a kind of more youthful vintage. If it's a little bit older, then it might be good for the onion soup.
Mm. Massey Amarone Costacero Classico. I've had this wine on a few occasions and loved it. It's not always easy to get and ranges in price from €35 to €46, says Michael. Is there any alternative that's equally as good, easier to get and somewhat cheaper?
Mazzy really are at the top of their game. So they are one of the kind of iconic producers there. And I would say if you're seeing it kind of on deal down to 30, certainly buy it up. But the style and the way that that wine is made, it's done in a style called appassimento, which basically means they dry the grapes. So they kind of raisin the grapes, which is why you get this kind of more intense flavor. So you can go into your local wine shop, ask them for an appassimento style from Italy, and they will give you stuff ranging in €15 to €20. They won't quite be as profound as Mazzy is, but they'll be good.
Please ask the wine guy, where can I get Beringer California Zinfandel? I think they might mean Zinfandel.
Zinfandel, yeah. You can get, that's pretty widely available. My local on the Kabark Road, McHugh's, definitely does it. Redmond's in Ranelagh, I am pretty sure to say does it. Martin's in Fairview do it.
Okay.
So pretty widely available.
Yeah. I'm planning to propose to my girlfriend on Valentine's Day. She wants to pick out the ring and doesn't want a cheapy one in the meantime. I don't want to give her nothing at all at the proposal, so I thought it would be a nice idea to buy a bottle of bubbly, get it engraved with some romantic message, and then tell her we can't open it until our wedding day or first anniversary or something. I know, I'm so romantic. Can you recommend... God, stop congratulating yourself there, Luke. Can you recommend a good bottle that will stand the test of time of a few years and still taste good when we do get to drink it? I don't mind spending a bit on this, says Luke.
The gentleman's name is Luke.
Yeah.
Everybody who is going out with a Luke at the moment is going, will I say yes or no on the 14th of February? There are loads of bottles. Definitely do some fizz. Do Bollinger. If you want to go kind of big on Bollinger, you could do RD, which means recently disgorged, as in they take it off the lees later, but it ends up being a really rich style of champagne. They have the 2002 available at the moment, and you'll get that in kind of high-end places like 64 Wines or, again, Redmond's and Ranelagh. But you could also do classics, Dom Perignon, Cristal, all of those kind of things. All of those Grand Cuvée, top champagnes will stand the test of time. They will age.
When he says about getting it engraved, now he may mean just having something printed on the label, or could you get something actually carved into the bottle? Is that possible?
You could, yeah. I think that's probably... You might have to bring that to a jeweller's or something along those lines. The one thing I will say, champagne has really strong glass bottles. It has to because of the pressure inside. So the likelihood of you cracking the bottle by engraving it is less.
Yeah.
Bring it to your local watchmaker and ask him, can he engrave something?
Okay, because if it's just printed on the thing, that might fade or be a bit crap looking.
I was given a bottle of vodka. Why vodka, I do ask, but for when we got married, and it did have engraved.
It's an odd kind of a present to give somebody. Yeah.
Exactly. And my
wife married in a field.
and also my wife's lovely, so it wasn't even a thing of you're going to need this.
Now, before we actually drink the first drink, or drink the first wine, I should say, describe the gizmo. Now, because I think Tomás Clancy has actually told us about this before, but it's actually not what I imagined it would look like. I thought it would look like something like you'd use for an injection, that it just has a long needle on it.
So this thing is called Coravan, and it's they like to call it a wine access system. And basically, it is designed by a medical engineer.
Yeah.
It does have a needle. You insert the needle into the top of the wine, and effectively it pushes in gas, which displaces the wine out. What it means is you can get a drink out of a bottle of wine without opening the bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is a...
Because it looks kind of like an... you might mistake it for being an opener of some sort.
Yeah, it does look like some of those openers where they're in one kind of motion. Sadly, this is a little bit more expensive than one of those openers.
Yeah. How much about would they cost?
They're about €300.
Crikey!
Yeah,
would you bother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Like, that's a gorgeous pair of shoes.
So it's actually cheaper to just drink the whole bottle of wine.
I'm with Sean.
but it is true. It's like it's kind of like a gorgeous pair of shoes. It's like why we were asking earlier on, why would you trade up in a bottle of wine?
Yeah.
There's a little bit like that. Why would you trade up in a bottle of shoes? Because it's great. The experience is fab.
Adrian and John Drum says, I've often finished wine. Boom, boom. Thanks for that, Adrian. That's really made everyone's day here. Well done. Right. Okay. Let's move on to our first wine of the day.
So... we have a white Burgundy. So this is a Chardonnay, and this is from the Burgundy region, and it's from a producer called Louis Jadot. So Burgundy is kind of central France and move a little bit east towards the Alps. It is arguably the most romantic of all wine regions. And what do I mean by romantic? It is one of those regions where when you find the one, you will be absolutely head over heels, but you are likely to get a couple of slaps in the face along the way. What I mean by that is sometimes you will spend €50 and you'll get an okay bottle, but most of the time you'll be doing pretty well. Mm. This particular one, Chardonnay, so it is made by Louis Jadot. They tend to make their wines all in a very similar way. They have a little bit of barrel ferment, so it goes into oak barrels for doing its fermentation, which gives it this kind of little bit of spice, little bit of vanilla, but also kind of ups the body. It's quite a voluptuous style of wine. Delicate peach, white flowers, but long finish, crisp, clean as well. This is perfect wine, kind of Sunday roast.
Mm.
If you're roasting a chicken, go for it.
Yeah. And how much is this?
This is $17.99.
So that's, you know, on the kind of more affordable end of things. Dublin Crystal in Dundrum regularly engrave bottles given as gifts, etc., someone says.
There you go.
So there you go. You can get it done.
Thank you, Dublin Crystal.
Our hashtag, by the way, I've got to say, pirate movies. That's because of the piece we did at the start of the week, the interview with the woman who is now married to a pirate from the 17th century. Obviously, he's dead, so she's going to marry to his spirit, but they're very happy together. On the subject of Liam Neeson, someone says, I know it's sacrilegious to criticise His Holiness Liam Neeson, but come on, he's the worst American accent ever. Talking through your nose does not constitute an American accent. There I said it. I'm going straight to hell. Also, Liam Neeson was in one of the Ted movies, I think. Funny too, a strange character. Says Colin.
He did. He was like in it for 2 seconds in a convenience store. So he can do comedy, and he appeared in Entourage
briefly
as well. Yeah, so he's done brief guest spots, but I think comedy is something that we should see more of Liam. And with the American accent thing, Liam said he would have done the American accent for this, but the director asked him to stick with his Irish accent.
Okay, good. I'm going to go controversial here, says this texter. I'm not a big Tom Hanks fan. I think he's a bit overrated, and he's everywhere. Didn't like Catch Me If You Can, hated him in all the Dan Brown movies. You've got mail. I mean, seriously. There's no more damning criticism than I mean, seriously, is there?
What about Big?
Yeah, this person probably doesn't even know, isn't even aware he was in a film called Big, because that was like a gazillion years ago. Anyway, the hashtag is pirate movies. You've got sales, for instance. Serena, which movie would you like to talk about first?
Well, because Tom Hanks is everywhere, let's start with The Post.
Let's talk about the ubiquitous Tom Hanks after this.
Do you have the papers?
Not yet.
Oh gosh, because you know the position that would put me in.
You know, the only couple I knew that both Kennedy and LBJ wanted to socialize with was you and your husband, and you owned the damn paper. Politicians and the press, they trusted each other so they could go to the same dinner party and drink cocktails and tell jokes while there was a war raging in Vietnam.
I don't know what we're talking about. I'm not protecting Lyndon.
No, you got his former Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, the man who commissioned this study. He's one of about a dozen party guests out on your
patio. I'm
not
protecting any of them. I'm protecting the paper.
There you go. That is Hanks and Streep in The Post, which is based on a true story.
It is. Basically, the Pentagon Papers. What was his name? A guy whose name I'll find in a sec. Basically,
this is Ben Bradley?
No, Ben Bradley plays the...
Tom Hanks plays Ben Bradley.
Thank you. Let's start. Can we start again?
Let's start again. Serena, good afternoon.
How are you, Sean?
I'm great.
Basically, this spans over three decades where four different presidents were lying to the US people. Mm. And this spanned the first... You heard Tom Hanks's character in there saying, you know, for such a long time, the media and the government were in each other's pockets. They could trust each other. This is the first time that the media actually went against the government and went... We're here to, there's a good line in the film that says, we're not here to serve the serving, we're here to serve the served. So this is the first time where the media came out and went, we need to expose the truth. And this is the first time where the government went, we actually don't trust you, and tried to turn the blame onto the media rather than what they had been doing. Now, this is in the 1970s. It couldn't be more apt if we tried to what's happening today, not only about the press, not only about, you know, presidential chaos, but also about women and standing up for themselves and having their voices heard. Because Katharine Graham, I mean, she owned the paper, but people looked down on her because she was basically, the paper was passed down to her. Her husband died, then she was forced to run the paper. They didn't really trust, I mean, she'd walk into a boardroom and it'd be her with all these men telling her what to do.
Mm.
So it was hard for her to also believe in herself and have her voice heard. So it touches on all those aspects. And I have to say, for me, I've said this, and this isn't a criticism. This is actually why I love the film. This is old school cinema at its greatest, at its finest. I mean, you can't have the likes of Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg and Meryl Streep all in the same film and not delivering an amazing film. And that's, for me, is what this is. I mean... Inevitably, we all know what the ending's going to be.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it just in case. But we know what it's going to...
Well, then that's always a difficulty with these kind of films. So how do you keep the interest going, seeing you know what's going to happen at the end?
Exactly. So it's just, it's Spielberg who's amazing at telling a story. Because at the end of the day, this is what this film does. It just tells a story. It's great that it's set back in the 70s. So, you know, you don't have... It's not the time of the mobile phones. So there's a couple of shots where you are on the edge of your seat, because you also remember doing this. They're at the payphone. And one of the reporters has to make a phone call desperately, and all the nickels go all over the place, and he's trying to put all the money in the machine, and then he's dialing the number furiously. And do you remember you used to dial it back to make it go quicker and stuff? So he's building tension that way. Then there's also, at the end of this, I want to go and read a newspaper, because it reminds you how beautiful it is to actually read the newspaper and how much you actually take in when something physical is in front of you rather than online. Mm. There's a gorgeous scene where it's just the printing of the paper. And again, you know what's going to happen. But it's like, are they going to make it? Are they going to go to print on time? The performances, it goes without saying, Streep and Hanks give phenomenal performances. Do they deserve to be nominated for Oscars? Maybe win it? No. But the other thing is, it's not just, yes, it is about Streep's and Hanks. And when they're on screen together, they light up that screen. But the supporting actors, wow. And the one who stood out for me the most, because I've never seen him in a role like this before, is Bob Odenkirk, Saul, from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
He plays one of the main reporters, Ben. And for me, aside from Tom and Meryl, he's the next standout performer. But then you have the likes of Sarah Paulson, who plays Tom Hanks's wife. She was phenomenal in OJ versus the People versus OJ Simpson,
which is a fantastic series,
isn't it? And do you know what? I think she's another actress who is so underrated, but it probably works to her favor because she gets to play all these phenomenal roles and give knockout performances. There's also Matthew Rhys from The American. He was also in Brothers and Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And Alison Brie from Mad Men. And the series that I've discovered on Netflix just recently, Glow, which is fantastic. It's about women's wrestling in the 80s. This film, there is nothing I can actually criticise about it. If you're looking for just cinema at what cinema's meant to be, where you're told a story, it's delivered phenomenally, and then you walk away thinking about it later. And you do all three watching this film.
At the same time, just to be devil's advocate
here,
And the Pentagon Papers were basically the detailed American bombing in lots of countries in Southeast Asia when the United States said, we don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. They dropped more bombs in some countries than they did in World War II over these and denied the whole thing. But you've got Hollywood royalty, you've got Streep, you've got Tom Hanks, you've got Steven Spielberg making a point about government and how it treats the media and says everything's fake news and tries to blah, 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 blah. So anyone who goes to that movie is going to have that set of attitudes anyway. It's not going to change anybody's mind, but it's going to make everybody feel better about themselves that somehow they've changed something by seeing a movie about this.
Not necessarily.
No Trump voter is going to go to this and go, God, never thought of that.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to put down my banjo for a minute and give this some thought.
Do you know what? You are right. You're not going to walk away with your mind changed, but you are going to walk away going, for me, this is like, do you remember Spotlight back in 2016?
Yeah.
Where it was just the power of the press in a really good, positive way without being propaganda.
I know, but there's also a thing is that, you know, we work in the media and people in the media love movies about newspapers because, you know, that gets us going.
True.
I was going to use a really seed phrase there.
I'm so glad.
Applicable to a woman. Anyway. We do.
You're right. And that probably is why it appeals to me. And that's probably why I did get all sentimental and go, I want to get a newspaper and read a newspaper again. But look, aside from that, I just think it's great to be able to go and enjoy just simple, even though there's nothing simple about it, but just a simple story at the cinema. You know, you don't need all these bells and whistles or the commuter.
There's no explosions.
It's all just unfolding in front of you. And sometimes I miss that at the cinema.
Yeah.
Just a good old fashioned story.
Yeah, the actual tension is created between people.
Totally.
And it's acted, right?
Yeah, and Richard Nixon actually appears.
All right.
His voice. I was like, oh, this is, listening to it at the start, it was quite jarring. I was going, God, this is a really bad interpretation of Richard Nixon. And I come out and go, oh my God, that was Richard Nixon.
It was actually
Nixon.
Richard Nixon. Yeah. Yes, he did a terrible impersonation of himself.
He really did.
He was well known for that. Keith says, Liam Neeson does a cameo for Life's Too Short with Ricky Gervais, a TV show. It's him auditioning to be a stand-up. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, so
says Keith. I
think
that.
If there's any directors listening, do what the director did for Taken. Give Liam Neeson a comedy so this next part of his career can be all about making us laugh.
Rob says, my wife gets hay fever-like symptoms when she drinks wine. Any suggestions for wines that won't leave her snot-nosed?
Ooh, this is actually a tough one.
That's a medical question more than
anything
else.
Yeah, but you do have histamines in wine. That is absolutely true. And obviously your wife's probably taken Pyriton or something like that when she's for the hay fever. I suppose she could just take an antihistamine before she drinks wine. I put it this way, it's almost certain that she's not allergic to sulfites because that would be a hospital admission. So I'd say antihistamine would do the trick.
Okay, but just in case her ears swell up or something when she does that, we take no responsibility for that advice
Don't
whatsoever.
Don't operate heavy machinery.
John in Limerick says, it's not a good idea to cut into a pressurised bottle. It could induce a stress fracture with unfortunate consequences, says John, who hates romance. Julie, apropos of nothing, says, can you say happy 6th wedding anniversary to my husband, Christian, who's driving back from Galway? So, happy 6th wedding anniversary to the 2E. Kipper in Dublin 2 says, Tom Hanks is one of the worst actors ever. I agree with that texter. I wouldn't watch a film with him in it. I also can't abide Meryl Streep. Too much acting. They do tend to act, those two actors, quite a lot.
It's funny that they act.
That's what's annoying
it?
About them, yeah. Really.
Do you know what? If you think Tom Hanks can't act, do me a favour, forget about everything else. I agree, those Dan Brown novels that he turned onto the big screen were terrible. Watch him in Philadelphia. That performance in Philadelphia that he won an Oscar for.
And you wouldn't recognise him. Actually, that is a role where you wouldn't recognise him. Tom Hanks, average actor. Tom Hardy, exceptional actor and improving with each movie, says Tony. Like, Tom Hardy's what, 12? How many movies has he made? One more who has little regard for Tom Hanks after he got serious, as well as Meryl Streep, who's always struck me as a seriously good mimic posing as an actor. Says Brian. And somebody else says, to that person who hates Tom Hanks, I dare you to watch him in Captain Phillips after he's in shock after the rescue. I bawled like a baby. He's so believable.
He is. And he's, do you know what? He's a lovely, lovely guy.
He is. Now, I mean, there is a bit of, actually, because that's to a degree, you know, that people say that someone's a chameleon isn't necessarily true. To a large extent, a lot of actors act as themselves.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks tends to play Tom Hanks type characters in his movies. Which is, well, obviously he's well cast for.
Totally.
So it depends whether you like Tom Hanks or not.
Exactly.
As to whether you like the characters he plays.
I agree with that.
I was very lucky to be given two bottles of red Austrian wine called Commanda. It is absolutely stunning. Is it widely available? C-O-M-A-N-D-A.
I don't know it. So I
Commanda.
I can't even answer. Austrian reds, though, are fantastic. Brilliant.
Mick, this is like, this is people just texting to catch you out.
Great.
You know, they'll come up with
great.
The most obscure wine they can possibly think of.
Commanda sounds like something that should have like a film made about it.
It should really, yeah. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger swigs from this wine and kills aliens.
It's a better title than The Commuter, let's be honest.
Karen in Wexford says, I keep seeing a Chilean white wine when I'm shopping in Aldi at the weekends. It only costs £5. Ooh. It's called Azara, I think. They do a red as well. Can you ask the wine guy if he's tried either? I'm really curious about them as they're so cheap, but worry they'll taste awful. Are they worth the risk, or should I just stop being a cheapskate and spend more? Says Karen. Now, if they're £5, that means that's £4.95 in tax.
It is certainly at least €4 of tax there, yeah. So if Aldi are making any money off it, which they aren't, and the glass maker's making money and the screw cap maker's making money, there isn't a lot of money gone into the juice. But I'm sure it's okay. It won't kill you or make you blind. But
that's the best you can
that's
say.
That's the best I can say.
Okay, it won't make you blind. That's the good news. Right, one more movie, one more wine after this. Five 3 106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk. Mick O'Connell, who's a master of wine from Findlater & Co. and Serena Bellissimo are still with us. We've had one very nice white wine already, and we've talked about the film The Post. One texter says The Post is no better than All the President's Men. And the latter contains a lot more realistic and contextual details missing in The Post. The Post is great, but no better than any quality drama from the 50s, 60s or 70s.
I'm not saying,
texter.
But that's why I loved it, because it reminds me of those types of films.
Yeah, and well, I mean, comparing it to All the President's Men is a very fair comparison to make, obviously. But that's also an excellent film.
Exactly.
Now, it's kind of a procedural in a way, in the sense it kind of goes through the process of getting all that information together and verifying it, but that doesn't make it doesn't mean it's not a fascinating movie. I think
fascinating is actually the right word for it.
Yeah.
Can
your film critic tell us who would be her top favourite actor that can play multiple roles believably?
Cate Blanchett.
Philadelphia Mears, the man with one red shoe. Now that's Hanks at his majestic best, says the lift man. There you go. Watching the series Taboo, starring Tom Hardy, your beloved Hanks wouldn't hold a candle to him.
Do you know?
You see, I can't help suspect that. I'm not saying Tom Hardy's a bad actor. He's a very fine actor. But there's a kind of a bit of core about the whole Tom Hanks is a great actor thing.
But do we have to have either or? Can I just take both? And
no,
appreciate
no,
that they're both.
Not from these people who fancy him. They don't fancy Tom Hanks, they fancy Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy needs a mask to play most of his roles, doesn't he?
No.
Because he's so ugly, is that what you're saying?
The last several of his roles, like the Batman one and all, he seems to have his face covered a lot.
No,
and
I think
it's such a pretty face.
Yeah, and actually, even in Peaky Blinders, you wouldn't necessarily recognise him immediately. Because of the, you know, all the stuff he's got on. Growing Commanda. We did get a question in about Commanda wine earlier on. Growing Commanda requires tending the vines with no knickers on. Well done, Limo. Somebody also asked about being allergic to wine. It could be due to the brewer's yeast in the wine. My wife would swear she was allergic to our couch, but it was the wine. There's less brewer's yeast in white and none in champagne, says BK. Maybe. Could be that.
In wine, we don't tend to use brewer's yeast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different types of yeast, certainly, that go into some wines, but a lot of wines, like the next one we're going to try, has what we call a spontaneous fermentation. So it's yeasts that are in the winery that do the fermentation. No additions.
Margaret is familiar with that Azaria wine in Aldi. She says, I know it and love it. The white is utterly delicious. Delicious, gorgeous, she says. That's a new word that she's coined there. I cannot understand how someone who can't do any accents is rated as an actor. I would have thought that would be fairly important, says one texter, in relation to Liam Neeson.
I don't think so. I don't think you should be limited just because you can't do an accent.
Because you can't act.
Yeah, but you know, as long as you can act, though, you know, if you have to be Irish all the time, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think presence is a large, especially for movie actors, you know.
Totally. And as long as they can deliver the lines believably, that's what matters.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to our second wine. This is the big one, so to speak, in terms of it's 50 quid.
This is a brilliant wine. And really, one of the reasons I wanted to show this wine today was I knew that we were going to look at The Commuter. And I was thinking to myself, that is the most innocuous movie title of all time. So I was thinking, what kind of wine titles might make cool movies? And there are a few that are much more Hollywood than The Commuter, like The Riddler, which is a guy who turns champagne bottles. It might be misleading because they might think it's something to do with Batman. Or The Sommelier, which could just be a good French movie.
I like that one.
Yeah.
But this one is The Negociant. And I think it sounds a little bit like The Negotiator, who is Samuel L. Jackson and Kevin Spacey.
That was a good movie.
He's not allowed to act anymore, though, Kevin Spacey. But we could get Samuel L. in to make it a remake. But this is from a lady from Mayo, from Ballyhaunus in Mayo, called Roisin Curley. And she is a micro-negociant in Burgundy. And what that means is she buys fruit from farmers and then she takes the fruit, picks it, brings it to her winery, and she constructs the wine. She makes the wine in her winery. So a negociant is basically someone who doesn't do the farming aspect, but does the winemaking and then takes the wine to market afterwards. This is a Pinot Noir. It's from just outside the village of Beaune, which is really the kind of the beating heart of the Burgundy region, and a great place to go and visit if you like good food and good wine. This particular wine, like I said, it's Roisin who makes it. She's a pharmacist from Mayo. She has experience in places like Chateau Latour in Bordeaux and Chateau Grillet in the Rhône, very, very posh places. Mm-hmm. But this wine is really bright and vibrant Pinot Noir. It's got strawberries, cranberries. It's quite crunchy and style. She does it in old oak, so it's not as kind of spicy or earthy as you sometimes get with other Burgundy, but really, really silky tannins, long finish, harmonious balance. Why spend the 50 euros on this? Again, it's all about experience. You'll remember this glass of wine. The story is amazing as well. This is someone who is from Ireland, not a winemaking country, making exceptional wine.
Mm. And it's kind of like, it's a big wine, but sometimes big wines are almost overwhelming. Mm. And I sometimes you can say, this is a big wine, and I can feel myself dehydrating when I sip it immediately. Not in this case.
No, I think you're right. I think the beauty of this wine, in terms of body, you know, it's not the most viscous wine. It's not the fullest bodied wine. But in terms of intensity of flavour, there's loads and loads of stuff going on. You know, it's complex wine.
Yeah. Allergy to wine might be the grapes. If so, then you need to get tested and don't ignore it, says one texter. My wife always mixes her red wine with Coke. I find this pretty vile. Can you mix wine like this? She says I'm being judgmental. Am I, or is she the crazy one? Says Kieran, who's risking sleeping on... I think your relationship is... Maybe you need counselling. His wife could be Spanish, as you said.
Yeah, it's a big thing in Spain. And in fairness, if the wine was really crappy, I'd rather drink it with Coke.
It's amazing. I sometimes do that. I was brought up doing either red wine and lemonade, mm-hmm. or red wine and Coke. I think that's great.
It's very common, especially in a hot country.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes total sense, I would have thought.
Yeah. I'd say if the wife likes it, go for it. Yeah. Keep her happy.
Donna Paula Malbec, drink now or keepsies?
Drink now.
Yeah, okay. And somebody wants to know, what is the difference between Brut, Cava and Prosecco, apart from all being fizzy? Oh, crikey.
So Brut kind of references how dry or sweet the wine is, and Brut points towards dryness in style. So you can have a Brut Cava or you can have a Brut Champagne. Cava is from Cava can be from all over Spain, but it tends to be from Penedès, just outside of Barcelona. Prosecco is from what is now the region of Prosecco in Veneto, in the northeast of Italy. So they're from different places, in the same way Champagne can only be made in Champagne in the north of France. Cava can only be made in Spain. Prosecco can only be made in the north of Italy. Style-wise, Cava and Champagne fit into the same place. They are drier styles. You should get some yeastiness. They're bottle fermented wines, where Prosecco is actually made in kind of big tanks. And it what the big tanks do is they emphasize the fruitiness of the wine. So Prosecco is a much fruitier style of wine than Cava or Champagne.
Yeah. people texting, what's the name of the 50 euro wine called again? I said a bone. Would bone be the name of it?
Yeah. So it's Maison Roisin Curly.
That's the thing to look out for, really, because that'll stand out.
That's
really
the big thing. If you see Fodders, you know it's Irish.
Yeah.
But Bone is the village, and in Burgundy it's a real patchwork. But they name all of the wines after the village from where the grapes come from. Mm-hmm. So basically, with this one, it's named Bone, which the grapes come from there. This also has a site name, so a vineyard name, which is Clos de Rouard. So you can look out for any of those bits. But Roisin Curly is the big one.
The Azara wine from Aldi is perfectly quaffable, nondescript white blend if you just need the CH2O. Whatever that means. There's probably some joke in there I'm missing. Goes great with pork, the remains of which will go to my guide dog. The pork, not the wine. Says no. Fair enough. Curly Bloke from Dublin says, can you ask the wine guru about a wine I received as a present? It is a bottle... Amon Ra 2012.
Oh, yeah.
It could be is that actual name? It might be Amarone.
Ben Glatzer, yeah.
Yeah, as a wine Philistine, I'd like to know if this is something I should drink while watching the football or invite some wine appreciative friends around and impress them with it.
I think you should do whichever feels more decadent. This is quite a decadent wine. It's a big, full-bodied wine. Maybe quaff it by yourself doing the football. It was a gift for you. Spoil yourself. But it's a very good wine.
Yeah, but if you want to get full maximum benefit from it, then you need a wine Philistine. You need to impress people.
Or you could add Coke.
Yeah. Oh, just horrify them by adding Coke. Red wine and Coke is called Calimocho in Spain. It's yum-yum, just not very refined, says Andrea. Oh, dearie.
Nothing wrong with a lack of refinement.
Your missus has an occasional wine and Coke as well. But it's
my missus now isn't the biggest boozer at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, she probably would try it.
Yeah. The Daniel Day-Lewis is about 1,000 times better than Liam Neeson. From Name of the Father to There Will Be Blood. Talk about rage, says Miles in Galway. Get that, Miles?
Can we just appreciate that it's not one or the other? We can have a lot of people that we can appreciate their acting styles and what they bring to the cinema. We don't have to choose one.
Do you guys remember Celebrity Deathmatch? We should have that with Liam Neeson and another actor. It'd be fab.
You know what? In his heyday, Hanks was incredible, but now he's become too predictable. That happens with time to all actors, I guess. Says another texter. Crikey.
Everyone's hard to please today.
What about Morgan Freeman?
He just plays God all
he's
the time.
He's getting better with time. Better at God.
Yeah, he's very good at God. But we played a clip from him, though, not too long ago. He hates Christmas. Absolute total downer on Christmas. Given the amount of career he's got from playing, the guy who was born on that day, you'd think he'd be a bit more grateful. Anyway, we'll move on to our second movie in keeping with the theme that Mick introduced there. This is a clip of The Commuter. In this clip, Liam Neeson samples a Beaujolais and then strangles it with his bare hands.
It's my first time on a commuter train. It's eclectic. What about you?
Every day, last 10 years.
10 years? You must know everyone on this train.
The regular commuters, I guess. Faces, mostly. I'm sorry, have we met?
No, I'm Joanna.
Michael.
How long is it between stops? 4 minutes?
Yeah, give or take.
I'm bothering you, aren't I?
No.
I am. I just want to read your book.
I'm married.
Oh, me too.
Sorry.
That voice.
That's a great voice. There was actually a movie. I forget now. I think Meryl Streep might have been in it, about a couple who do have an affair. They travel on the train every day. Now it's gazillion years ago. I can't remember who was in it. I think maybe she was one of the two people in it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It's probably more interesting than this one.
Possibly, yes.
Can I just start by saying this film does not take away how I feel about Liam Neeson. I think he is fantastic. He is a friendly giant. I don't know why he keeps making these films. Like, I just wanted to yell, I need to get off this train.
Ka-ching.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? And I understand. At the end of the day, I think I get it. I spoke to him about this film and I said to him, why do you like being the action hero? And he says, because I have fun. And at the end of the day, I think if you're having fun at work and you're getting paid big bucks, would you be turning down the work?
The thing is, though, is he being offered anything else now? Because Hollywood tends to move in that way. They offer you a script similar to the last hit you had, and that's it.
Well, see, that's the thing. His next film, there's one with Steve McQueen and Colin Farrell, which is going to be a little bit different, called Widows. But the one after that, called Hard Powder, It's the same thing. He's a snowplow driver seeks revenge against the drug dealers he thinks killed his son.
Taken so 14.
He's being offered the same
thing. It's just different modes of transport where he gets to kill people.
Yeah. So look, this it was disappointing because it could have been so good. Now, look, I have to put my hand up and say there have been a few people who have enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching
Stephen King tweeted about it and said it was great.
Okay.
Stephen King, the writer.
So maybe if you're into this style
of
film.
Not the Northern Irish politician. Nobody cares what he thinks about a film.
But maybe if you're into this style of film, for me, it was just, I found the story was just ridiculous. I'm happy to go with ridiculous. I mean, cinema is supposed to be about escapism. So I'm happy to go with ridiculous, but this was over the top ridiculous. I'm going to try and find a positive. Yeah. I loved the fact that your man Mike from Breaking Bad was in this. He was in this for a little while. So it was good to see him. I got so excited when I saw Killian Scott appear from Love Hate.
Yeah.
He appears in it for a little while as well. So, you know, it was good to see them.
Why do we get the feeling all these people get killed by Liam Neeson? You say a little while.
I'm not putting
Killian Scott's disembodied head rolls through the carriage of the train for 5 seconds.
I'm not saying anything. But look, it did get a bit claustrophobic, and that's what this film is supposed to be, because it's all set on a train. But for me, it was just too ridiculous for ridiculous sake. And I felt like they're trying to, again, cash in on all the Taken fans. And yes, it is great to see Liam Neeson do action, but as the texters have, texters and tweeters have been tweeting in saying, can we see something different from Liam? And I think
Very briefly, what is he? He's now he's a baker who's an ex-ninja assassin person.
It actually starts off quite interesting because it tackles the subject of ageism here.
Mm.
He's a 60-year-old man who his son's about to go to college. You know, they're still paying off their mortgage. They have financial issues. He gets to work and he's being told, you're 60. By someone half his age going, you're out of here now just because you're 60.
Okay.
So he loses his job.
And what is his job?
Some financial stuff.
Okay. All right. It's not important. Yeah.
So he's got an office job. He's been doing that for 10 years now. Quite successful. He loses his job. Gets on the train. Now, it's all about the train. You know, the same train he's been getting for the last 10 years to and from work, all the relationships he's made on the train and stuff, which is quite interesting in itself because you can't help but bring yourself there and think, oh, yeah, when I do this commute, I see that person. I wish I knew a bit more about that person. So I think, as a concept, it was quite interesting. And then, you know, he appears on this train and this mystery woman turns up and says to him, if you could do something and not know about the consequences and get $100,000, would you do it? Given his financial situation, should he do it? Should he not do it? Basically, he has to find a person. Will he find this person? Will he not find a person? What will the consequences be?
And in this film, does he have all the skills?
Of course he does.
Yeah. And how come he has these skills?
Oh, I forgot this part.
Yeah.
Conveniently,
yeah.
He's an ex-NYPD man.
Ah, of course he is.
Okay.
There you go.
So that's where he can do all the, he has the contacts with the cops and he has all the action stuff. For me, it didn't work. As I said, there are a couple of people who have enjoyed this. I would avoid this like the plague.
Commuter 2 could be on the M50.
Could be. No, well, actually, Owen has tweeted in saying Neeson has covered most forms of public transport in his movies. Will his next film take place in a double-decker bus that crashes into a Lewis carriage and he has to get a refund before the bus explodes? And lots of people texting in to say, yes, it was that film I was thinking of. Was called Falling in Love.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Which was Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro, which at the time was kind of like the equivalent of Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks now, because they were the two, you know, hottest actors. And
do you know what? Avoid the commuter and seek out that film.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't that great, I think. I think it was slightly disappointing because everybody thought Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro is going to be great. But then it was like, you know.
Okay, well, maybe just go see The Post.
Yeah,
or
just go see The Post.
Coco, a Disney animated film, amazing, about the Dia de los Muertos. Amazing film.
Okay, fantastic. Right, here's Claire to tell us about some good things to do this weekend.
Hello. In Dublin tonight, the title presents Choose Your Own Adventure and Poetic Justice at the Pier Centre on Pier Street in Dublin 2. That's at 8 p.m. this evening. This is their first of their new improv theatre nights, and they are showcasing two of Dublin's top improv groups. Tickets for this are €10, and you can go to eventbrite.ie or their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Tightrope Dublin. Then in Galway, the new Irish soul act Uman are playing at the Roisin Dove tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Tickets for this are €10, and you can go to roisindove.net for information on that. And finally, Bow Productions are performing a production of The Vagina Monologues by Eve Ensler this Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. in the Mill Theatre in Dundrum. Tickets are €15, and you can go to milltheatre.ie for all the information on that.
Excellent stuff. Thanks very much, Claire. Thanks, of course, to Mick and Serena. pleasure to have you in. Very enjoyable. Well done on your maiden voyage. Sort of thing, Mick. Anyway, Ivan's up next. Our production team today, Niamh Hassel, Claire Collins, Michael Quilligan, Anne-Marie Kane and Elaine Power. We'll talk to you on Monday at 2 o'clock. See you then.
Welcome. Please take a seat. Yes, I know you're late. What I want you to understand is that the song doesn't necessarily exist. It wasn't composed, it wasn't written, it wasn't produced. In fact, the song is happening right now in your brain. You are the composer. It started when you woke up, when you started your day, when you walked out the yard, when you greeted that old lady by the corner, when you bought bread and milk, when you stepped into the office. This song began. Yes, the song is about to finish, but before it finishes, what you need to understand is that you are the composer. You created the song. You created it when you broke up with her, when you got with him, when you took too many beers and you smoked too much weed. No. There won't be a remix. No, there are no featuring artists. It's just you. You composed the song.
Moncrief
on News Talk with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.